Okay, it's 7 o'clock in Louisville, Kentucky. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
Motion to begin.
Thank you, Commissioner Eisenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we take a moment and have a moment of silence. Okay, first on the agenda tonight, we have a presentation from Mr. Hoagland from Wickling. I can't say the word.
Mayor, your price is going up if you can't pronounce her name.
Wellington? There you go.
Wellington CPAs.
I grew up in the year when I went to school. They did do phonics in school. They made us memorize words.
We rebranded our firm. We used to be Wellington Himmelfarb and Company CPAs, and we decided, well, that's a lot to say. Most people gave up, you know, your presentations and whatever. So we just became Wellington CPAs.
Let me let these guys pass out the recommendations.
Recommendations.
That's the last two pages.
Well, you want me to just jump right into it?
No, just go through your presentation. I want to make sure they had it.
All right. Mayor and commissioners, you have in front of you a copy of the 2016 audit, fiscal year 16. You also have a copy of a letter that we present to you. And I know we talked about this last year, and this letter is an overview of the whole audit process. We try to boil it down into some simple terms that you can understand. This letter starts off by saying to you that we've been engaged by you to perform this audit. You signed an engagement letter on February 19th requesting us to perform the audit. So we perform the audit. We're also talking to you about significant audit findings. What are those? We talked about the accounting policies that the city goes by and the city uses. They're your policy, and we think they're appropriate. We also talk about accounting estimates, because management is not only responsible for the selection of your accounting policies and the use of your policies, management in this case being the commissioners and the mayor, you're responsible for accounting estimates. In the case of the city, you do not really have too many significant estimates. The one that you do have is from capitalized assets. You set up road expenditures as assets, you buy any other assets, et cetera. It's your responsibility to provide us the estimated useful life. Now, in reality, we pretty much know what the estimated useful lives of most of your assets are, your infrastructure. We go by the standards. And Kentucky gives us, Department of Local Government, they give us guidelines on what normal depreciable lives are. We also talked to you about, did we have any difficulties encountered in performing the audit? No, we're pleased to say we encountered no significant difficulties in dealing with management, performing the audit. We talked about, did we find material misstatements, whether correct or uncorrected misstatements. None of the adjustments we made to your accounts this year were material. Keep in mind, you still operate your books basically on a cash basis. And in our engagement letter to you, we tell you one of the services we will perform is we'll bring you on the accrual basis. So basically, Mary will set up accounts payable. She'll adjust your taxes receivable. We'll basically set up your capital assets, whereas you'll expense them. So we do make some adjustments each year to bring you from the cash basis to the accrual basis. But those are not material adjusted entries. Those are entries that you already know we're going to make on your behalf. So we do that. And over the second page, disagreements with management. Did we have any disagreements with management? not in general. We had some spirited conversations with management, you know, about certain findings, et cetera, but we're all in agreement. Management representations. Tonight, the mayor signed a letter, basically representing all the information provided to us on the audit. No other significant audit findings or issues, except as discussed in the back of the audit itself. That's it. So that's kind of a letter wrapping up the overall summary of what's involved with performing an audit and what your all responsibilities are. You also have in front of you a copy of your financial statements, 2016. I'd like to note, independent auditor's report on page 1, it's an unmodified opinion, which means, in our opinion, these financial statements are materially correct. After that, we jump into management's discussion and analysis. I'm going to do this kind of summary form. Starts on page 2. What I like to do is move straight to the exciting part. Now let's go to page 3. And on page 3 of the financial statements, we have a condensed statement of net position at the bottom. This is the only place in the financial statements where there are comparatives. The rest of your financials outside of the management's discussion and analysis, those are all single year. So I like to compare 1 year to the next year. So on page 3 at the bottom, you'll see, in general, your total assets increased during the year by about $18,000, $19,000. Okay? The reason your assets increased mostly, you'll see, is because of road expenditures that we capitalized. Other assets decreased, other assets increased. Liabilities increased slightly, $1,200 during the year. So net position. You know, your net position went up by $17,000. Okay, so that's a positive situation. Net position basically, you know, would be like your net assets increased by $17,000, 15 to 16. Anyone has any questions about any of this, just raise your hand or yell at me.
Oh, let me say something to the audience. This will be on the internet, so you'll be able to look at all the numbers and everything.
On the website.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, page 4, statement of activities. Okay, during the year, you know, your year of operations, your total revenues were less than 2016 and 2015, about, turns out, exactly $20,000. The biggest decrease, obviously, were in your property taxes.
And Mary, is that based on a refund situation?
Mm-hmm.
As you know, you overpaid property taxes in 15, and those were refunded in 16. So basically, 15's revenue was higher, but keep in mind, it was only higher because you paid an excess amount of property taxes. And since that was refunded to you in 16, now we're back into more of an even situation. Expenses, you know, up $9,500 total expenses, and not really a significant increase from year to year, 2.8%. So it basically kept expenses in line, 15 to 16. So again, your change in net position, which is how you measure the health of the city, your net position increased by $17,653. So that's basically a positive situation with your statement of activities, a positive situation with your statement of net position. And going through here, okay, we can see on page 5, for example, as we noted earlier in this statement, you had some major expenditures in 2016, and Mary audited those expenditures for road improvements. Approximately $113,000, approximately, was spent on road paving and catch basin repairs. Okay, so that's why on page 5, you see your capital assets greatly increased from June 15th to June 16th. On a go-forward basis, we'll continue to record, based on our standards, infrastructure expenditures. City had no debt as of the end of 16. That's kind of the highlights of the MD&A. After that, we move into our statement. Now, keep in mind, I'm moving rather quickly. As you all know, you're in a position where you're behind on having your audits performed. So this is a June 30, 2016 statement. So this information is pretty stale at this point. Yet, you know, I'm here to present where you stood at that date, June 30, 2016. We, on the prior MD&A, we talked about an increase from 15 to 16 on your statement in that position. And here's your detail of your statement in that position. You can see what your cash and cash equivalents are, $94,000. Still, you have a strong position for a city this size with $373 in investments. You can see what your property taxes receivable are, other receivables, that's from insurance premiums. And now you have a larger capital asset balance than you've had in the past, because of the capitalization of road repair. Page 7, again, just detail the current year statement of activities. I call this, if you were a for-profit business, this is basically your income statement. Capture your expenses at the top, your revenues here in the middle. Revenues $332, expenses $314. You basically had net income, $17,600. It's positive. You always want to have net income, like budget to have income. You don't want to budget to have a loss. So you're in a positive position there. And then we move on to, as I talked to you about before, those first couple of statements are as if you were a for-profit business, to be a balance sheet income statement. These statements here are basically your fund accounting, which cities have used in the past, where you break things out by funds. And you'll see there, you know, your statement, your balance sheet here is broken out. A big part of your investment account sits over in a special revenue fund, which is municipal road aid, which, you know, you collected through the years and kept your expenditures, you know, below what you received. So therefore, a large part of your investment account is in the road aid fund. So you can see there by fund where you stand. Page 9, that's a reconciliation between the government-wide financial statements and the statement of net position. And here's the biggest difference. On the statements that look like a for-profit business, we capitalize assets. So all those expenditures for the road, $113,000, will capitalize and will be depreciated over their lives. For your government-wide financial statements, more almost like a cash basis in this case, those expenditures are recorded as an expense. Just two types of presentations. For those who are accustomed to seeing, you know, the fun type of statements in the past. Page 10, again, basically your income statement broken out by fund, general fund, special revenue fund. This just details them. You see the money that you received from the state of Kentucky, the municipal road aid, $34,549. You see the interest income you receive on the investments in the special revenue road aid fund. And here we go. Sign and road repairs. To the price of basin and road repairs. Well, sign's kind of a common language we use in all of our cities. People usually use something with signs during the year. And then there's road repairs. There's $113,000. So that was a very large expenditure in 16. So on a fund basis way of looking at it, you know, you actually had expenditure greater than your revenues, but it was only because you spent money on your roads. You had the money in the road aid account, so you were good to spend that money, and you did. So, you know, that's basically an asset for the city going forward. Spent the money then, sure, you've spent more money most likely since then on roads, but in the year that you make those decisions to, you know, do that type of expenditure, you're just going to show, you know, show them like that, and maybe show a deficit in the fund statements. Your notes to these financial statements. Let me scan through here. As an auditor, if I'm reviewing this job, what I think is important for you to note. Let's see, what's something important. I mean, there's a lot of verbiage in here. You can read. This tells you all about the accounting of the city. Here you go. Here's a pretty interesting one. Note C, deposits and investments. We detail note C, page 16. We talk about the accounts held by the city, the investment accounts,
and the cash and cash equivalents. We tell you what the bank balances are, and then we talk about whether they're insured or collateralized or uncollateralized, because a lot of their investments would be CDs, correct, Mary?
Yes.
So since CDs fall into this type of category. So in 16, we had an issue where about $188,000 was uncollateralized. Okay? It was not insured or collateralized by the city. That was an oversight. That's been corrected since then. Now, your risk was there if the bank that you had the CD in went into default. Well, we, in general, we haven't had banks in the U.S. going under here recently. So, you know, you did have a risk there. In reality, your risk was probably minimal, but that's not the regulations by which a city has to operate. The city's funds have to be insured or collateralized. So they now are. Again, note D talks about your capital assets. This is a different schedule here showing the additions for infrastructure. No disposals of assets. We move to the back. Page 19 and page 20 are just your budgets for the year 2016. You can look and see, you know, how close did you come on your budgets. You came relatively close when you see the total amount of appropriations, 330 versus the budget 346, within 15,000. Total appropriations for charges for expenditures, 339 versus 368. Well, at that point, you're about $28,000 under budget on your expenses. Now, next budget, though, I'll talk to you about. This is an oversight on the former administration based on regulation. You see here, when they knew they were going to spend a significant amount on road expenditures, road maintenance, they should have amended this budget. They didn't amend the budget. This is the budget. So there should have been an amended budget to bring the actual road expenditures more in line with the budgeted amounts. That was an oversight, it didn't happen, but this is the budget as it was adopted, and it's a final budget. We'll discuss that here in our findings. So we get back to page 21, which is where we talk about internal controls, and keep in mind, we were all here last year, Mary and I were talking about this thing, you're a fiscal year. So you're June 30th to June 30th. So issues that we found with the city at June 30th, 2015, for that year, most of those same issues were still there in 2016 because it's another fiscal year. So, you know, you're in the middle of the year looking at 15, you go, these are some findings we have, some problems we have, some issues we have. So, basically, those issues weren't corrected because a lot of things happen on a calendar year, so they really didn't have time to be corrected in 16. They probably wouldn't have been any place. And we'll talk about those now. Page 23, our schedule findings and responses. First finding, which is a material finding, the city lacked adequate segregation of duties as it relates to the internal accounting function. The same individual was responsible for receiving and opening the mail, preparing deposits and taking them to the bank, writing checks to vendors, and reconciling to bank accounts. The city, okay, those were too many responsibilities, one person. You can see management's response here. Management's response here is the same response that was in these financial statements for 6/30/15, because as of 1/1/2019, when a new administration came in, changes were made, proper changes were made, and I won't reread for this year what was already written last year, and you guys can read that yourself, but you've made the changes to where now you have proper segregation of duties. We also noted expenditures were not reviewed and approved by the City Commission in a full and detailed fashion. It appears that certain expenditures did not directly relate to city business. Like I said, that's still kind of a carryover from 6/30/15. As of 1/1/2019, all invoices and expenditures and receipts are now reviewed and approved by a majority of City Commission members at the city meetings. There you go. And like we said here, which is true, the current City Commission members cannot comment on expenditures from 2016 since they were not a part of the City Commission at that time in general. But
you know, we found certain expenditures that we thought did not directly relate to some business. In our opinion, they weren't material. Material being kind of an accounting term to use, that was it significant to the city? In general, no, but still expenditures that probably should have come under more scrutiny. Another finding we had, again, kind of a rollover, 15 and 16, certain wages were advanced and paid without using the city's payroll vendor, and those wages were not included on the city's payroll tax form. So wages were paid, they were paid outside of normal payroll vendor. Now, as you see, all commission members now receive copies of all city bank statements each month, and everything's approved and everything's authorized. So there won't be any more writing the checks that are completely approved. Finding number four, the city did not properly file all forms 1099-2015. Now, the city, we go on to say the city properly filed forms 1096-1099 for 2018 tax year, and procedures are now in place on a go-forward basis. They have proper forms W-9s for people who perform work for you, forms 1099-1096s. These guys, I think, know the rules about 1099s. Any expenditures, $600 or more to non-incorporated companies, for lack of a better term, the recipient should receive a 1099. The city did not maintain an adequate level of bonding insurance at that time. Underbonded. Mayor jumped on that first thing. As of 1-1-2019, you're fully bonded. Well, as of 2-6-19, you have a $750,000 surety bond that approved, issued by Great American. Where you need to be with your bonding insurance. You had bonding insurance, it just wasn't at the level you needed to be back in 16. And number six, we state that you had cash and CDs in excess of insured or collateralized amounts. We talked about that in the footnotes. They were in excess of insured amounts. The city's in the process of moving all funds to Independence Bank, and Independence Bank has assured the city all funds will be properly catalyzed. Is that the situation now, Mayor?
Yeah, we're almost out of first.
Okay. As CDs come due and things like that?
We don't have any more CDs.
Okay.
The majority of our cash is in Independence Bank now. And they have a property collateralized. And they, if there's any changes that they need to make to increase it or, you know, whatever they need to do. Right now we've got $500,000 and something. I don't know. Some school bond or something, but we're down to minimal amount in First Financial. So we're just hanging on to it through tax season, probably to the 1st of January, and close that account.
Gotcha.
We had a lockbox with them, and we just don't know which property tax people are going to make sure,
sure.
The monies go to the proper lockbox.
That's wise. Okay, great. Last finding. Fiscal year 16, as Mary noted to me during the review, you know, the city did not amend the special revenue fund budget to account for significant variance in the road maintenance expenditure.
We didn't have one.
Right. The city currently reviews budget to actual expenditures on a monthly basis and will make amendments to the budgets as necessary.
Doesn't it?
So there you are, it's your 2016 statement. We've met your compliance issue with the state of Kentucky. And Mayor, if it's okay with you, as I did for 15, I will submit these electronically to DLG tomorrow. I'll copy you on them. They normally come back with an email saying, thank you, we've received them.
Let me ask, is there any questions from any of the commission? Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the 2016, fiscal year 2016 city audit?
I will make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Next thing that we have to do is we have to hear a motion or need to engage the accounting firm again for fiscal year 2017 audit. Is there any objection to engaging with Wellington's CPAs to begin the fiscal year 2017 audit.
Proceed.
Okay, do I hear a motion to engage, allow me to sign the engagement letter? Thank you, Commissioner Bedell, with the shake of the head.
Oh,
I heard
good.
It. Okay.
And
do I hear a second?
That.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, it's unanimous.
Great.
All right.
Have you signed it yet?
No, I don't sign anything until I get the approval of the commission. I follow the rules.
Take it back to me.
And a lot of these same findings are going to be on the 17.
Most likely.
I mean, because it's...
Right.
Right.
New council.
So things that didn't change until...
Well,
some of them might.
One or two may fall off. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll
probably
see.
Maybe not.
Did you want me to print this anywhere?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Just your signature. Well, I'd like to thank you.
Oh, that's my copy.
Yeah. Sign the original. Thank you for having me come.
Thank you very much.
We're going to see it. Hey, and I'd like to publicly acknowledge now in front of all the commissioners and the mayor, fantastic work that Mary does on behalf of your all city.
Thank you.
As you know, catching up these years, circumstances we found ourselves in, not having a full financial general ledger in 2015, Mary's really had to put in a lot of hours.
She's
a professional, and we're paid to do that, but she's kind of gone above and beyond as an individual to just make sure she gets this done as quick as she can. And quite frankly, you need somebody at Mary's level to do this. A lot of firms, honestly, with City of the Bees and somebody with less experience, a younger person.
This is hard stuff.
But with this, the situation you guys had with some issues, et cetera, going back a few years especially, you had to have a, you know, like a 25-year CPA do it. So Mary's done it. That's it. Just want to say that.
She called me, though.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I'm looking for you.
Thanks,
guys. And let me say, Mary had jury duty the first 2 weeks in July, but she still went into the office to help make sure that this audit got completed. She was scrambling. And Dan was gone for 2 weeks in June, and so it was really tight because we needed to get this done. So thank you, Mary.
Going on your vacation.
that was already back in May. I will tell you though, I wanted them out just as badly as you all did.
Yes.
So.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the next presentation. Okay. We'll dismiss ourselves. You can get on with the rest of your meeting.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Thank you for showing up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Along with this. Yes. Okay. It looks like everybody's in here that we know. Mrs. Carr.
Yeah.
She should show up. And you missed the audit.
Oh.
We
missed that.
All right. But this will be on, like I said, the audit PDF. I will try to get it up on the website tomorrow morning. Okay? It may be tomorrow morning, maybe the next day, but I'll get it up there and we'll get it put in the paper like we're supposed to here shortly. All right, next on the agenda is citizens' participation. Anybody wishing to express themselves may raise their hand and be recognized, and you will have as many minutes as I feel necessary to resolve the issue, if there is one, or to let you make your comments. Do I hear, or? Yes, sir. John, Mr. Rice, what would you like to say?
I just got a. I don't want to kind of reiterate the vote again about the courts down there where the driveways are. They're so caved in now, and they're just standing water, you know. I know that I've been calling with MSD on it and stuff, so.
You're talking Luray, right?
Yeah, Luray Court. And there's a few other spots around, and I'm noticing that they've come out and they dug up some of the yards and did some, but as far as the driveways goes.
Okay, we'll get in touch with Commissioner Eichenberger here, and she'll put a bug in their ear.
Okay.
I just need the addresses and things.
Is there anything else? Okay, we'll get to some other stuff later. Okay. The minutes were placed, were passed out. Was everybody reviewed the minutes? Did you find anything wrong or anything needs to be corrected? By the way, those minutes also get posted on the website prior to the city meeting, so you can read them. And they will be out there after the city meeting for this meeting. Okay, so city meeting minutes are out there usually by the Friday before the city meeting. Okay, we try to get as much out there as we can for you. All right, so do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Motion to accept minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberger. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Bevel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Yes. All right. Next up is the Treasurer's Report. And there's a... On this Treasurer's Report, what we have currently is the current June 30th fiscal year of the financial report for June 30th, not for fiscal year 19, because we still have some outstanding projects that haven't been paid yet. And this is just the financial report for what we have received as of the end of June. Okay? So I want to make that perfectly clear. If you had any projects that are still outstanding with services that need to be paid, then we need to let Dan know that these bills will be coming in for fiscal year 19, okay? But this is the strange month. We've got a June report, but it's not for the fiscal year. We won't get the fiscal year until we get all the bills in. And actually, we learned in the budget class that the fiscal year can go all the way, the expenses will go all the way up to August 30th. Yeah. Well, so we'd like to get the projects done before August 30th and paid, okay? We don't want to drag it out, but I wanted to make you aware of the fact that this is June's financial report and not fiscal year 2019's final report, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got a question about that? All right. So, with that said, did anybody have any problems with the financial report for June 2019? Do I hear a motion to accept the financial report for June?
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberg. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Janus. All right, we passed around the reimbursement sheet, and it looked like everybody initialed off on it.
Yes.
So, I guess with that said, everybody approved, so it's approved. So, it's signed off. All right, so we'll move along now to the city attorney's report.
I will tell you that I'm going to be saying fewer words tonight than most often, but we've worked on the ordinances that were previously or most recently passed have been published. What we have tonight is a second reading of the vacant house.
Okay, hang on. Let me get these out.
Which I'm very proud of.
Well, we got number five first.
Which is five?
Well, five is the one for the join the let me pass these out.
If you want to discuss that one, Bob, that's fine with me.
I'll go ahead and it's not a big deal. This particular ordinance, and when it gets down to you, Carol, this particular ordinance pertains to we entered into the Kentucky Media City Insurance Services Program. And because this is a self-insured program with all the cities that are in the program, it's a self-insured plan with reinsurance for the insurance companies, we have to have an interlocal agreement contract plus accepting their bylaws and everything else. So if Steve's okay, I'll go ahead and read this since I read it yesterday. I did find a word misspelled, and it's on this sheet of paper, but I have corrected it in the one that Bev's going to find. Okay. This is Ordinance Number 5, Series 2019, City of Worthington Hills, an ordinance approving a joint and cooperative program for self-insurance, insurance, and the investment of public funds among various cities, urban county governments, and other public agencies within the Commonwealth of Kentucky, authorizing the execution of the interlocal cooperation agreement to establish the Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services Association, approving the articles of the association and bylaws of the Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services Association. Whereas Section 82.082 of the Kentucky Revised Statutes KRS authorizes cities to perform any functions and exercise any power within their boundaries that is in furtherance of public purpose of the city and not inconsistent with constitutional provision for statute AM. Whereas cities are authorized by KRS 65.150 to extend public funds to insure their officers, employees, and properties against any liability or property damage and to associate with other public agencies pursuant to the Kentucky Interlocal Cooperation Act, KRS 65.210 to 65.300 for insurance purposes, and whereas KRS 65210 to 65300 authorizes cities to jointly exercise with other public agencies under an interlocal cooperation agreement any powers, privileges, or authority exercised or capable of exercised by city, and further authorizes the parties to an interlocal cooperation agreement to create an administrative entity which may be delegated powers for conducting and administering joint and cooperative undertakings on behalf of the participating public agencies, and whereas the elected officials of this city have determined that it would be in the best interest of the city to join with other cities, urban county governments, and public agencies for the purpose of taking joint and cooperative action to create and establish the Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services Association, KLCIS, as a separate administrative entity, and through KLCIS to create and administer various self-insurance, insurance, and investment programs to provide self-insurance and third-party insurance coverages against all types of liability and property damage, and to establish programs for the investment of public funds. And whereas the elected officials of this city have been provided copies of the interlocal agreement to establish the KLCIS and the articles of the association and bylaws of the KLCIS, and have reviewed these documents and found them to be acceptable. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the City of Worthington Hills as follows. Section 1. The city hereby approves the joint and cooperative program for self-insurance, insurance, and the investment of public funds as set forth in the interlocal agreement to establish the KLCIS. Section 2. The mayor and the city clerk are hereby authorized and directed to execute the interlocal agreement to establish the KLCIS on behalf of the city. Number 3. The city hereby approves and ratifies the Articles of Association and Bylaws of KLCIS as amended. Section 4. It is understood by the city that by executing the interlocal agreement to establish the KLCIS, the city shall incur no liability for the payment of any funds, and that it shall be necessary for the city to take, and it shall be necessary for the city to take further action before becoming a participating member in any of the self-insurance, insurance, or investment programs which may be created and operated by KLCIS. Section 5. The city clerk shall cause this ordinance to be published in accordance with KRS 838.060, paragraph 6, and KRS chapter 424 within 10 days of its enactment by the legislative body. Pass and approve the 16th day of July at the regular scheduled meeting of the legislative body of Word Hill pursuant to law. That's a full reading. Do I hear any questions? Is there any questions at all from the commission? Do I hear a motion to accept the ordinance?
I make the motion to accept the ordinance, Ricky.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Let's start with a roll call vote. Commissioner Eichenberger?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Bedell?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Mayor Stone? Yes. All right. It's passed. That's the official copy. With all the spellings correct. Okay. All right, Steve.
Good job, Mayor.
Thank you very much. I didn't write it.
Okay, I was going to have to do with that. Someone else did that. Okay, this is the second read of Ordinance 6, 2019. The genesis of this was that we wanted lenders who were foreclosing on properties, which became vacant because of foreclosure, to put into place the requirement that these lenders take care of the properties as if the owners were still there, the same responsibilities. What we did is we changed it to a vacant house ordinance because some houses are vacant that are not being foreclosed on. So with that said, 6-19, City of Winter Hills, Kentucky, ordinance pertaining to vacant houses. Where the City Commission decides to pass this ordinance because reliable empirical studies reflect that vacant houses diminish surrounding property values and pose health and safety risks for neighboring residents. Now, therefore, we are here to the City Commission that, one, purpose. The purpose of this ordinance is to abate the diminished values of real property after real property located within the City of Winter Hills, hereafter City boundary, and to reduce the health and safety risk of persons residing therein. Definition of the word vacant. As used herein, the word vacant shall ascribe to a house, hereinafter house, which is located within the city boundary and has not been occupied by a person or persons for more than 30 consecutive days. Section 3, requirements of vacant house and substitute house owners. House owners, hereinafter owners, and any person or entity which stands in an owner's stead, either by agreement or operation of law, hereinafter substitute owners, shall electronically transmit a completed city website vacant house registration form, hereinafter form, for each of their houses to, and this is Dawn's email address, within 30 days of a house vacancy date. B, owners and substitute owners shall notify the commissioner by email each time one of their houses is again inhabited, which would trigger filing a residential rental thing, if it's in fact a rental. Real property maintenance. Owners and substitute owners shall comply with city ordinances and the related laws of Jefferson County Rural Metro Government. So the people that wind up in the house have to maintain the properties basically the way that everybody else is required to do. Enforcement. Owners and substitute owners do not comply with sections 3 or 4 can be assessed a civil fine per day of between $100 and $500 for each violation. That should give people some incentive to comply with this ordinance and the later ordinances. Section 6, real property liens. For unpaid fines, city may record owner and substitute owner real property liens with the Jefferson County Clerk. that attaches becomes payable if the property and when the property is sold. That's approved on July 16th by the legislative body of the city of Worthington Hills. If this passes, it has to be signed by the people noted on page 2.
Is there any questions?
When they fill out this form and send it to Dawn, what does Dawn do with it?
She keeps it on file, but it's also what you don't see going on in here. The online version also goes to the clerk and the public safety and health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, she gets a copy of it too. Okay.
Yeah, it's we just had the one in here because there is also the ability for them to download a PDF file of the form,
mm-hmm,
and mail it in.
Oh, okay.
So by having it online, it automatically disperses to the people plus the submitter. The submitter gets a copy.
Okay.
That's how you got a copy of the one that I had done today.
Right.
The submitter gets a copy of it, and then the three people. Dennis gets it for the public safety and health, the law enforcement to know that the house is empty. Okay. Dawn gets it because she's property maintenance, so she can keep an eye on the grass. And Bev gets it so she can keep it in the files. Okay, the public records. All right. So there's a reason for the madness.
More than just
right. But the thing is, it goes back to if somebody wants to do it in paper, it goes to Dawn, and if Dawn gets it in paper, then she needs to distribute it to the other people.
Yeah, instead of getting embroiled in all that, or it gets somewhat complicated with doing that.
Right.
If someone does that, we're not going to say go do it electronically. It just makes common sense.
Right.
And that's acceptable.
But like I said, when it goes up online, when this ordinance goes up online, it will have a link to the online, and it'll have the link for the downloadable PDF. Okay.
Who determines the fine? $100 to $500.
That was, and that's a good question. I was getting ready to get into that because there's three somewhat arbitrary factors that I asserted here, and I've been shoving this at Dawn to some degree, and then Bob said, why don't we just get it in a final form and bring it to me, and also to Bev. But the arbitrary elements of this are the two 30-day time requirements and the fines. So that is something that I thought maybe someone would want to discuss. It's very easy to change this if that's what you want to do, and it can be passed. I can make the changes tomorrow. I'll email it, secure the property signature for publication. But if any, and that's a good question.
But here again,
how much to fine them?
Well, this is where we currently just need to get this up and going, okay? Because we also still need to have a code enforcement board. Okay, code enforcement board, which is three people. The ordinance is already on the books,
yes,
but we haven't had anybody on the code enforcement board, and it's never actually ever been, other than they voted that one time. Did you ever have a meeting at all?
Mm-hmm.
See, and to be on, to have the code enforcement board, here's one of the things that has to happen. They have to have training. They have to take the code enforcement training. They also have to take some ethics board training. So there's stuff that it's not just getting on the board. It actually, they have to be trained to do it properly. And KLC has a training for code enforcement. Okay. So, and I need to check into that. But anybody who would like to get involved with the code enforcement board, if you're not already on another board, is welcome to approach us and submit your names. You don't go out, let me put it this way, you don't go out and look at the houses. What the code enforcement does is, when there's been a violation, okay, either the person pays the fine or appeals it. And if they appeal it, then that's when the code enforcement board gets involved, okay? And they will, it's just like a court hearing. They basically hear the appealers version of what the situation is, and then they make a decision whether the person appealing has a valid point or not. And if they do, they can dismiss the fine. Okay. If, and again, after that process, if the if the board decides that the fine stays, then the person that got fined can take it. Where's it go next? Circuit court?
Third district.
Okay.
District court, Judge.
District court. And then they get to go down there and plead their case. So here again is there's a process. If it comes to they won't pay the fine, okay?
I got a question. What if they win that case? Who pays those court costs? Us?
There's no court costs.
Oh, okay.
If you get online, not to interrupt, but it's online. It's a complicated ordinance.
Okay.
But it's all about due process.
Okay.
If someone gets fined for this or anything else, they can appeal it. They have to be cited first, and then there's a hearing.
Okay.
There has to be minutes taken, and then there's a timeline in there. Within so many days, they have to appeal that, and then there's the hearing. That if the person continues to be fined, if the board says we're not setting aside the fine, then they can appeal to district court. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Okay.
But it's the process whereby we avoid going downtown to district court because they're not going to deal with this stuff.
Right.
So
they're not going to take off work and go down there.
No,
and
they're not. If you went down there and asked them to enforce this order, they would just look at you like you're crazy. So the statutes authorize cities to do this, but it is complicated. If you look at that ordinance, it's a complicated ordinance, and it's all about due process.
Right. So is there any other questions about the ordinance? Basically, we're looking to clean up the act of those who
do not clean up their yards.
Do not clean up their yard. They abandon their properties, or they're in foreclosure, or we've got a couple. This also applies to people that have moved out who's got their homes for sale. Okay? So this says vacant homes. If somebody goes on an extended vacation for 30 days, this could also apply. Okay? So if you're going to Florida for 6 months, guess what? You better have somebody taking care of your lawn. So this is a big difference than what we were first looking at on the foreclosure. I really like this because this is going to put some, this is going to make people accountable for their property curb appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
My only question is, if you have this person who doesn't mow their grass, and you told them code enforcement says, okay, we're going to fine you $100, then every time somebody doesn't mow their grass and it's going to have to stick at $100, right?
No, it says between $100 and $500.
I know, and that's my point.
Right.
It doesn't. Yeah, you're stuck at the 100 as a minimum.
Right. But if it's a continual,
so then you can find them more than once.
Right. You can keep.
Yeah,
it says per day.
Per day.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, fine per day.
So you better keep your grass cut. Let me throw this out. 311 is a number to call. Anybody can call that and say, if my best neighbor, my grass has got, or I've got an old washing machine in the backyard, they are good people, and they'll come out countywide, and they'll cite them. And the leverage you have there is that does go down to district court.
Right.
Because it's initiated by local metro government. It's not initiated by us. So 311 is really... number to call, because they'll get on them. They give them notice, and if they don't repair, do it, and within the time frame of the notice, then they're subpoenaed and summoned to come to court. And there's an actual criminal record that's established, and they are good. And they go to court, they plead not guilty. The prosecutor or the judge says, "Look, let's clean this up by a certain amount of time. Let's come back." And then if it's not, then there's proof put in, like we would put in a hearing with the code enforcement.
And we've got a good code enforcement officer working in our area named Officer Don Gentry. I've personally talked to him, and he is making the rounds through Worthington Hills. Now, the other thing with this is, I was going to say something. This gives us the means also, because we've had these homes that have left. What we're missing right now is we don't have contact mm-hmm. information, and that's the value of the registration form. Okay, so that's the reason why we want to get that, because we can make the phone calls and let them know. I made two phone calls to two property owners this past week because I was out driving around and I stepped on Dawn's. But I had to make a phone call for another reason, and they got on the ball and got the grass cut the next day. One, I just left a message.
The mayor said, "I'm packing heat." That's
I mean, I basically told the one that was at Rutherford Place, "Your place looks like a dump."
It did.
And it did. And so, and it hadn't been mowed for how long? At least a month, right, Harold?
Yeah, it's ready to be bailed now.
Yeah, I know. So, I wish we could find who's on Middlesex and also who's in charge with 3812. Well, now we know we'll be able to find 30. The Middlesex got a letter. Both the Middlesex got a letter and 3812. Dawn signed those letters. We wrote them up. Signed the letters.
Is that the Northumberland, the 38, the greenhouse?
Yeah, the greenhouse.
Right. Northumberland. We sent it to who is registered with PVA. Okay. Now, whether it gets to the right department or not, who knows? But I wanted to let you know those letters that got sent out. Dawn's got a form letter now. We can basically just fill in the address, fill in the information. And it cites the Lowell code for the violation, okay?
I have a question. Does that code enforcement, is that just concerning like the grass got too high, or is it just like you made our street look just like white trash lives there?
It only applies to what's in on houses. If the gutters are down, if the grass is if they got the little trees growing in them, if they got grass, if they got parking on the lawn.
So cars that matter where
there's like... No, they enforce all that.
Code enforcement applies to any violation of any city ordinance.
Correct. All right.
And then hanging their car down into the street, does that count too?
Yes, parking.
Okay.
Parking in the yard applies, all of it applies.
Okay.
Okay.
So, is there any other questions? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept this ordinance as is?
No. For hanging needs to be spelled right.
Who?
Pertaining.
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 Well, we'll
save
that.
No,
I didn't spell that. It's the only word I didn't put in there.
Bob inserted that.
Where?
Pertaining.
Okay. I can fix that. Okay.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know how my word spell didn't fit that.
These are my words, so that's my bad.
Okay. With the correction of the spelling of pertaining, does anybody have any objection to passing this on?
Well, here's another thing. I put in there hereafter form, but the word form never appears again.
Well, don't worry about it.
So you take that out. I mean, if you want to be...
No, we can leave it in there. We may amend it someday. All right, is there
also the line needs to be extended? I can't do these things. You can do them, and all of a sudden, I can't
do them.
No, the line
is fine.
All
right, is there a motion to pass the bill if we correct the word pertaining spelled correctly?
I make a motion. This is good.
I
make a motion that we accept it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Kimball. Second? Who's second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Eckenberger. Roll call vote. Commissioner Kimball, you're first this time.
Yes.
Commissioner Babil?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Commissioner Eckenberger?
Yes.
And Mayor Stone, yes.
So you can start sending out fines tomorrow?
What?
So we just
it has to get posted before. You can't. Notice has to go in the paper before we can start showing anything, okay? All right. Once I get this word spelled correctly, I'll sign it.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know that it says.
All right.
I have a question of Dan. There's been a couple of requests for payoffs by lenders or whatever, and I'm just wondering how we stand on that.
Okay. On the payoffs? Okay. Dan can answer that.
I think everybody has what they need.
Okay, good. I just wanted to check.
Okay, but there's some stuff we need to talk about on that, too. Roy and Betty's unemployment.
They got it?
No.
Oh.
let me tell you what's going on. I don't go and send it anymore. They've appealed the referee's decision. So now, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, it goes to a commissioner or the commission, and they look at the information and make their decision whether it stands or not.
Who's paying all this?
State government.
So that's where we're at with that.
The second appeal or the third appeal?
Third appeal goes to the commission.
So this is the third one.
Then, and whatever comes out of it is final, right, Steve?
Yes. Well, yeah, they can appeal to circuit court if they lose at the commissioner's level. I took a case. I had a case where this goofy hearing officer ruled in favor of the employee. So I appealed this commissioner one.
So this is third for
court one. And I'm sorry. I appealed this to the commission, and I won. The other attorney appealed to the circuit court and the court of appeals, and I won at those levels. And it's a published case.
Wow. Okay.
So they looked at what, two, three more times?
Well, there were two causes. There were two issues: whether there was available work, and also if they were fired for cause, basically. So there was two.
So
issues.
They get fired, they quit.
They were fired.
There's a letter of resignation.
Both of them.
Right, they're relying on some minutes where
they're relying on some other stuff. So
I'm amazed. I like the Colemans, and they're my friends. I'm
the subject. Okay, all right. We don't need to talk anymore about it. Okay. It's in the field. Okay,
I'm just disappointed that
I know. Okay. Last month, Steve, myself, and Dennis, right? Yeah, it went to Ground Effects. Okay.
Now,
you weren't there? Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. It was Darren that was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Ground Effects is right there that backs up to Bay Run Drive. And there's been some, there's complaints. Anybody that's been here, you've heard Jim Lawrence's. Okay. There was a mission at the meeting. And the admission is the original expansion wasn't permitted. Okay.
Meaning that they didn't get a building permit.
Yes. Okay.
True.
Also, there was a Perry Mason thing pulled on them.
It was cool.
And Steve liked it because we had one of the residents come in late. Okay, I already had a copy of this flyer that they had given to the Bay Run residents, okay? And I hadn't done anything with it, but then this one of the residents from Bay Run come over and handed me two copies of it. And we were just about closing up the meeting, and I was saying my final things about, well, you know, we've been promised a lot in the past. You know, the residents on Bay Run Drive.
It was a dog and pony show, if I may interrupt, by MSD and the owners and Able Construction, which I fought, I battled them in court too, and I won. They tried to stiff my client for $250 for doing the soccer club down there, and they heard it and they thought they were going to run away with it. So, regardless, so I found out that Able's there and everybody, and the guy that was representing the owner, I believe, it was just a dog and pony show. So it's I wish it was filmed because it was something that was somewhat classic. But go ahead, Mary.
Okay. So right before when we were doing all our basically final
it was wrapping up.
Okay, yeah, wrapping up. I said, well, the thing is there's been a lot of promises made, and we don't really know, we can't really trust, and the residents really need to have the assurance
that you're not going to pull, you know, you're not going to do, or you're going to come through with what you promised, because, and I handed them these flyers.
That they wanted to do is shove more water in a place where,
right.
where really it's not going to, right. can't handle it, but they're saying that it can. But.
Right. So we hand these flyers that they had originally had with a PR guy mm-hmm. handed out to the people on Bay Run Drive that backed up to this facility. Well, they acted like they'd never seen it. And I mean, it was like everything just went to an automatic stop.
All the guys that were passing were standing up and getting defensive.
Yeah.
And it was, but the importance of that is that this guy in this letter says, I represent, what's the name of the company?
Ground Effects.
And we're going to be doing this work and everything's going to be okay. Well, number one, the guy never got a building permit. And the minute Bob reads this and hands it out, these guys were looking at it, and all of a sudden they're standing up straight and getting defensive. And they says, "Well, was he working for us at that time? Well, maybe he, you know, maybe he didn't have authority to do that." I'm rolling my eyes and say, "You know, you got to give me a break." So Abel's doing the new work, and I suspect that Abel did the first work. But that's the only question I wish I had asked.
Well,
who did the original construction?
The reason why I'm bringing this up is for those who live on Bay Run Drive, I had it on tape. Or I had it on digital file, audio file, where the MSD rep made the statements about the first expansion not being permitted. So, Steve, I checked with Steve because what they've done, if they put now a statute of limitations time on the residents of Bay Run Drive, because now they've been officially notified because there was some people there from Bay Run Drive when the statement was made. So, what is it, 2 years from the date that, from the date that
I think the statute of limitations, I think it's about two, from the day you knew or should have known.
Right.
Okay, like I've gone to a hospital and they cut off the wrong leg, you know, I should have known that, you know, so it's a year. But, yeah.
The thing is now is I don't this I bring this up is because I want to know from Steve what our obligations are to the Bay Run residents.
What was happening is water, because they didn't get a permit and it wasn't designed correctly, water was cascading over the back.
Well, it's not only that, but it's the light and the noise over there too.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the noise ordinance. And then, but getting back to the, so I just made the statement that anybody whose property was damaged as a result of flowing water coming off their property, especially in light of the fact that they didn't have a building permit to do it, has a cause of action against the company. Not a cause of action against Abel, because that's a contractor, but what the company would do in turn would sue Abel. As to the noise ordinance, Bob, there's a bay where these trucks are sitting out there and going beep, beep, beep all night and stuff like that. So these guys were acting like, well, there's not much we can do. And Bob's saying if you change the doors and open up a different way and not do it at a certain time. And they're like, you know, that's the way of that. Here's a noise ordinance. Oh, noise ordinance? What's that? I mean, these learned people are pretending like there's no noise ordinance. So I gave them that. And I said, no, I've got an email. Copy. Oh, no, we're okay. We know what it is. Like, well, you know what it is. Why don't you abide by it? But it was a great meeting. I mean, I had fun. I had to leave, but I left Bob to wrestle him down. But anyway, I left there thinking, well, this was fun.
I just wanted to bring this up is because, you know, we've had Jim Lawrence in this meeting a number of times complaining about the damage that did this happen. Now they've corrected the drainage, okay? Now they're just putting a new one down the street that's going to possibly affect the poor people in East Bay Villas, okay? So I bring this up because I feel like there should be something that the city needs to let these people know on Bay Run Drive that they have maybe a class action.
Wouldn't be a class action.
Well,
they would each be, they would all get together and they'd all become
plaintiffs
in the same suit.
Right.
But we don't have, I mean, there's, and there were people there who lived on that street when I made that remark.
Yeah.
And you would suspect that, like if Carol and Linda were neighbors, and Linda found out that she might say something to Carol, but not necessarily. But I think somehow everybody, and you have to be careful of what you say if you give them notice, because you don't want to, you know,
right.
don't want to be subject to slander or libel or anything like that. So I think that it's a good idea somehow to let them know that they may check with an attorney to see a legitimate cause for damages in a lawsuit. Because, boy, when we got into that, and I made the statement, everybody whose house was damaged because of this non-permanent overflow of water, like they were like, and I made a statement, and this one guy says, you know, was trying to qualify what I said, and I said, I didn't say that. What I said was, is that there's a basis for a potential number of lawsuits if what we just thought we heard. So,
yeah, see, that basin where the water comes off the current ground effects, it basically moves through the system to get to the basin where the new system that they're going to put the drain pipe into goes to the same basin. And I also had pictures of what that basin looked like that I showed MSD. I mean, it's uncut, it's uncapped, and it's just overgrown down there. So the attorney for MSD actually did some text to somebody, and they were supposed to send somebody out. I don't know if they ever did, but I just wanted to get you up to snuff on what happened with the ground effects meeting. So we haven't heard back from them. And I talked to Darren last week. He hadn't heard back from him. And Darren's the president of the Homeowner Association for East Bay Village.
Yeah, I think that he needs to get proactive there.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say, you know, they got their jollies at the meeting.
Yeah.
And they're too busy to do anything. Certainly so. Here's the other thing. They're doing a lot of work. They're modifying somehow vehicles are being produced by Ford. So Ford is shoving vehicles over there. Doing it. I don't know how many shifts they have, but they're making a ton of money. It's a Canadian company, isn't it, Bob?
Yes, it is.
Bob was adamant. He says, we're not having a meeting until someone from Canada is down here. You know, but what he didn't realize is they sent the janitor.
No. They sent the vice president.
No, a vice president.
I want to be the global vice president or something.
Yeah, he didn't force their hand. Bring someone down here as an authority.
Bob, what are they actually doing over there?
They're taking four trucks from the factory, and they're putting all these
special
stuff, like the running boards and the friggin' damn special lights and the special this and the special that. I mean, it's ground effects.
They're doing the same thing that Manning's doing, just more.
Yeah, but they're more. They do the
customization.
Customization. Manning does more for the Manning or for the business
persons.
Utilities. Right. Good point. So that's
the reason I'm asking is all of a sudden in the last couple of years we're getting black from something on our house.
Huh. Yeah, it's coming from the Ford plant. Trust me.
That's what I think.
But here's the other thing I also brought up during the meeting.
It's when they paint
that those people are also being very uncourteous. About coming out of that drive. They're turning in front of everybody,
mm-hmm.
and they're also, when they come out of the, where the lot there by the trains, where they load them up on those car,
Murphy Lane?
Cross the Murphy Lane. They're very inconsiderate there. I watched them yesterday run through two rights.
You know what we do? Our contract, our company that we contract with, they have jurisdiction all over the state. I mean, if I see, they catch me speeding in Meade County, they can pull me. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt maybe to talk to Tate about Marshall.
Well, and none of the vehicles had a license plate.
No,
right.
Okay, and that was one of the things I brought up, too. And what they did was they basically, that's a third party. That's another complete organization. That's not part of ground effects.
No, that's Ford driving the trucks up there.
It's a contractor.
No one's going to worry about that.
Right.
But the fact that if they're doing anything illegally, you know, turning wrong, running lights, that's something that we can monitor.
Right. Now we need to get transportation department over there, take pictures. Anyhow, all right.
Question.
You okay?
The lawsuit he's talking about has to do with the water runoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you enforce the noise ordinance?
That was one of the things I brought up, was basically they need to find a different way of, when they're moving around. I mean, when we sat in the meeting, how many times do we hear the beeps? They're using this, that it's protection, it's an OSHA thing for protection of their employees when they move the vehicles.
Right.
Okay.
I get all that. I get your suggestion of how you enforce it. Because you can't enforce it. I don't think, can you?
Law enforcement can enforce it. Of course, they'll come back and say federal law trumps local law.
Yeah. But the noise ordinance on that is a metro ordinance.
Yeah.
That's not really very much weight.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's
my point.
Well,
I mean, they
agreed to put up noise barrier. Not a noise barrier, but they put up some kind of environmental.
Yeah. They agreed to put up trees for the lights and the trees.
I think that anybody here that hears that can go downtown and take a warrant against them for violating the metro code.
Okay, and that's my point. I'm like, okay, then what happens? They sit in the court and they send them a letter and they ignore it. And
they bring them in and, you know, here's another thing. You might call 311 and have that, see if they can come out and have someone, you can put them up, someone could put them up for the night, you know.
Well, I know the noise ordinance runs from 9 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but it's just...
Well, that's not being enforced.
No, it isn't. All right, we're moving along. Y'all can... I've informed the Bay Run residents that they're sitting at the table, okay? So that's that. Okay. One other thing I want to talk about while we're still on city attorney. Steve, we got an issue. Okay. And it has to do with the tax information going out. We've got third party administrators requesting tax information, okay, and they're not providing us with anything other than the name, the address, and the partial ID. They're not identifying the factor, and I've been demanding that they give us copies of authorizations from the lenders, okay, to protect ourselves, okay.
But what's these obviously have loans to people that were.
They're not the lenders.
Okay.
They're a third party administrator that's been hired by the lenders. Okay. Right. Now, Kentucky has a form that says request for reproduction of PDF records and contract for commercial users. Okay. And my recommendation is we take a look at this. I'm going to bring this up. Okay. I'm going to hand this out because this is what we got. This is why I question this.
Let me throw something out. If it's from a Kentucky, any Kentucky...
It's in a Kentucky group.
Entity, you want to do that because they're making sure that the people have...
This isn't Kentucky.
Okay.
These aren't Kentucky and they... And I'm going to put it this way, okay? Look at this letter. It's one of them they sent for information for real estate property, okay? And on the back is a list of the people on the back of that page, okay? If you'll notice, it says City of Kingsley, tax collector. It doesn't name anybody other than City Tax. And it gives a person. Now, this is better than some of them where we get a fax and it says, just send us this information to this fax number, okay? So here's what my suggestion is.
Throw it away.
You'd be giving out stuff like this.
Now hang on a second. Okay. All right. We've been requesting them to send us the authorization from the lenders, and they have to include the property, the property owner's name, address, and the partial ID. Okay. And if nothing, if any one part of that doesn't match, they don't get that particular information. Okay. But we need next year for tax. This is going to be one of the projects that I'm going to put Steve on. We need to do what PBA has done for these bulk requests, okay? Because on the back of their form, here's what it says. And this is for commercial. These are commercial. Remember we had class? Commercials get treated differently than regular people. And it says commercial applicant certification statement. If you'll read the back here, it says, I certify with the Property Valuation Administration determination that this request is for a commercial purpose, I understand and agree, the PDA assumes no liability for the validity of the data.
I, such and such, do by here certify the records requested on this document will be used only for commercial purposes as stated and agreed to. The conditions and terms specified in the attached contract or license agreement. Supposedly, now this can be used, this is being used by PBA organizations throughout Kentucky, okay? Jefferson County apparently doesn't, because I tried to throw this down to them and they come back and sent me an email and said, we don't keep your stuff.
They want you to do work that they can do themselves.
Yeah, right, right.
Public records. So they want you to be their grunts. You know, I would just throw it away. But
well, you, here again is, I don't want to throw it away. I want to make them have, to give us more valid information. I want to be able to send them a document that says, this is what's required before you get your information. This is what's required. And this is the cost that's going to be required. I worked on one case of 99 properties. It took me 2.5 hours to provide all the information, which was basically, I had to go through, I did it because I wanted to see how long it took, okay? And I went through and put all the tax amounts for all 92 properties. You have to go down this 676 list, okay, find these properties. Now, luckily, they were in numerical order, so it wasn't too bad. But still, taking the time to cut and paste, cut and paste, cut and paste, takes time. Okay.
Who requested 99?
It was a third party administrator for the mortgage company.
But are you obligated to provide them that information?
Why don't they?
Because if we don't provide it to them, we don't get our taxes paid. Okay.
And then you just file a tax lien.
All I'm saying is we need, this is a project that we, I believe we need.
I just sent everybody this company information, and what they're interested in.
Why wouldn't there be a homeowner to pay their taxes? Why are right. we, do, why are we doing
here's
the grunt work?
Here's what it is. Who has a mortgage with an escrow account? Anybody that's got a mortgage with an escrow account. Okay, what the company mortgage company does is rather than having one person in their company do it, they hire somebody else to go get these tax information. They got, there's a third party that they have all these different lenders. And this one, in this particular one, on these six, got an email back from Crystal. She's going to two lenders. These six people that are listed on that list, there's apparently two lenders involved in these six people. Okay? So,
but they're wanting us to do their work for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they've got no way of getting the information.
Yeah, they do.
Why not?
Because let me correct.
My tax bill goes from my mortgage.
That's right.
Exactly.
The mortgage companies get the insurance bill and the tax bill because they want to make sure that it's paid.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't get the tax bill from us.
Tax bills are going to lenders.
No, the tax bills that we sent out did not go to lenders. They went.
Yes, they did. Yes,
my mortgage company already paid.
I got an email saying they paid them.
Yeah. The bill came to me, and my mortgage company paid it.
Yeah, I didn't send
it.
I did too.
In
my case also.
I didn't get a bill.
Yeah, well, I'm getting it because here's the reason why I'm saying this. When I got the information, when we got the information to mail out the tax bills to the residents, okay, we got three copies of the tax bill. I got two of them back. So I don't know where they're getting these tax bills from, but they're not getting them from us.
They're a for-profit corporation. I sent everybody their webpage. Look at it this evening when you get home, and you can make, you made me vote on this. I'm not afraid of work. But I don't like working for someone who can do it themselves.
Exactly.
They're wanting us to do their work. PBA information is public record. They can get that.
Exactly.
And look at it. We, and, you know, I'm not trying to.
All right. I'll tell you what, Steve. I will send you the next bunch of notices, and you can send them the friggin' notices.
I mean, I'll say, go tee up a rope. I mean, you know.
So anybody that sends me an email.
You fill them all out the second Tuesday of that week.
Yeah. I don't know if they're requesting payoff information or if they're requesting tax information. How do I know?
I'm sorry.
Well, the title companies will tell you that.
Well, just because there's an email and it looks like it's from a title company, how do I know that it's somebody that's refinancing or if it's something like this, maybe this company is refinancing?
No, they're not lenders. They're not lenders.
Who's not a lender?
This company is not a lender.
Yeah, neither does HELP. They're not a lender either. A title company is not a lender either.
No, title companies are doing... Title companies are being hired by lenders to do title searches to see if there are liens on properties and stuff like that.
So I'm just saying, how do I know the difference?
I think that if you get something from a title company, you can go online and see if it's a little bit company. Those are the people you want to service and do, because typically it has to do with a refi.
Right.
Right.
I agree with Armstrong. I just don't always know the difference if it's somebody... I mean, it's the title company in Colorado. It seems kind of odd, but I'm like...
Oh. Well, there's lenders all over the United States. Mortgages are bought up, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you they're...
Right.
And the selling of mortgages and paper is a big deal. So you might have a local lender here that puts together 100 mortgages and sells them to companies that operate outside the state of Kentucky.
Right.
Okay, well, we just need to look into this and see what we need. Dane, you and me need to get together, and probably best to, so we can make
right.
sure that we're
you
not...
You said my place, that's good.
I just don't want to be getting into trouble getting
not
out of information.
When you have a profit corporation asking for information, you can't get into trouble.
Okay.
It's when you start getting notices from the federal government and state government and metro government, in me, that's when you have to be.
Okay. All right. Any commissioners got anything that's old you need updates on?
And another thing that they're trying to do is that there are people with money. Nebraska, there's multiple companies that buy tax liens, okay?
And that ain't what I'm worried
they
about.
They acquire the same rights as the person that owes the taxes. And these companies are making a fortune, because if you look at the statute, they inherit, they get the same rights as the lenders, okay? So they're buying this paper. This is the... I'm going to look at it later, but this might be a company that's buying those things up. They want you to provide information for them so that they can buy these.
That's exactly what I was talking. I've been telling Dan that for days.
But we don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
If that's what it's about, they're a for-profit company that wants to buy taxes so they can foreclose on the taxpayer.
That's
right. The county government doesn't like to do that.
All right. Right. And I learned about this back in my business law days, and our attorney that taught the class told us about two brothers. One was taking care of the dad, and the other one was just basically there in town. And the one that wasn't doing anything found out the taxes weren't being paid, so he went down and paid the taxes. And then when dad died, he went and changed the locks because he had gotten the tax lien sale. Or tax sale.
Here's another thing. The statute that, you know, this is paper. If I've got a note, somebody owes me, I can sell that paper. Right? I just don't want to wait for the payments. So you sell it and someone can wait for the payments. But the statute also provides that these companies like Nebraska Alliance that are buying up these taxes can recover attorney's fees. So they file the foreclosure action, and these people not only have to pay the tax, their attorneys, I know Jim Higgins does this. This is where he makes all his money. He's getting $3,000 to $4,000 in attorney's fees for every one of these properties that his company buys and he forecloses on. Why do you want to put that burden on someone who can't afford to pay their mortgage? They wind up losing their house, they wind up paying the tax, and the first thing that gets paid is the administrative expense for the attorney. And the government is discounting the tax. So if the government, metro government, has $1 million of unpaid taxes, they're coming, and I don't know what the numbers, they might be coming in and paying $500,000 for that. So all this, right when they do that, if that's the number, they're paying 50%, they made half of that number. So
this is the reason why I'm being very suspicious of these things that are coming in, and I just want us to not do anything that is going to hurt any of our residents. That's the whole reason I brought
it up. Providing the information, you're hurting your residents.
Well, I will say, like, that one, that's not past due taxes. So that one, that request was for all current taxes. For like,
yeah, that's for this
okay,
year.
Okay, I'm just, you know, so I'm suspicious of what it is.
I totally understand the buying old taxes, but
right.
I know that one specifically was for, like, current. And I'm with you. I'm like, why didn't they get tax bills?
All right. That's okay. A public record.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's a public record. They can go down to local government, you know, we buy our tax bills from the sheriff. They go down and buy those records. They, it's right there.
But they can't get our taxes from them, can they?
I don't know. Let me look at it further. I'm very fearful of what they're trying to do.
Okay.
And maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's never the case. No. All right. We're moving along. Any old business that we need to talk about other than anybody found a meeting area? I like this one because they're letting us have it the whole day for a price. Okay. The Girl Scouts, I don't know if anybody's seen, they went around with a mailbox or went around and gave out a flyer that, was recognizing the people that helped them with the project, get, you know, donated the supplies and stuff.
What day did we have the lightning in Thunder? Monday?
I hope so. Monday, I guess,
they,
yeah.
They went out. They did, they had to come back.
Yeah. All right. Tax bills got out. Were received locally on the 1st of July. Out of areas probably got theirs within 3 or 4 days. Trade bond was increased to $1 million as of the 1st of July. What they also did, and the reason why it was a little higher, what I suspect it was, they moved the maturity date, or they moved the 3-year from the February date. They took and credited us for that period of time, did that amount, and then they moved the 3-year is now at the end of June 30th. It's not February 5th. The 3 years have been moved to June 30th, 3 years from now. So that's that basically accredited us the amount of money that we had and moved our policy date. I made sure of that. Reach Alert. I called up Ken Webb. He's the COO of Reach Alert, and told him the news, and he says, well, how about if we offer you a discount, the same discount we gave you the first year? See, he sent me an email, says that our current enrollment is about 25% of population of Seward and Hills, so he moved it back to $625. So I'm just throwing it out there. If you want to talk about it, fine. If you don't, we'll just move it along. Okay, so he moved it down by 1,000 to 1,000, whatever it was, to the 625 for 1 year. Okay, if we would promote the program.
$100.
Yeah, it basically it's 165. It's 165 people on the program on the email list now, and I don't know how many get texts out of those, but last year we used it 3 times.
I was going to say, I think I am on it, and I haven't gotten a text in.
No, and I'm planning on getting with Victoria and having a banner. Remember I talked about a banner on the front page so that it runs across for the snow removal and stuff so people can go online. Okay. Plus, Jefferson County, for those who don't know, Jefferson County has this same type of alert system that you can sign up for.
Yeah.
And so you're paying taxes for it, so you can get online the Jefferson County's Google website has it under public safety and health. There's a place where you can sign up. I don't know what they're calling it now. It used to be something, and then they changed the name of it. Sign up for it, and you get all the same alerts.
Don't they different with it that I've noticed now? You have to do something different to get, for the missing person, there's another thing you have to do, have to sign up different for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that doesn't come through.
Yeah, because we haven't got any missing person
yet. But I've seen that on my phone, and I was like, well, I don't know how to do that. Other than that, yeah,
there's
no difference in it.
Yeah,
that's
I don't see where
we
need
to.
Okay.
All right.
Can I go back
to
something?
Sure, go back.
This letter's in Benton. It says to the city of Kingsley.
Right? Yeah, I know that. I brought that up.
I mean, it's not we're not the city of Kingsley.
Yeah. That's the reason why I question anything that comes.
I'll throw it out.
I mean, we got that on the 2nd of July. the first time, and I deleted it as soon as I got home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute,
yeah.
I thought we had moved on
from
that.
Yeah, we
did. I just wanted to point out that's not addressed.
Okay, are we, anything else that might be brought up in old business?
So then what did we said about racial work? We're going to
well,
cancel it.
Unless somebody makes a motion, it ain't going to be talked about.
Motion to cancel.
Mostly continued cancellation. Okay, we ain't going to do anything. Okay, alright. Part of that, nobody would mention. Alright, new business. Alright, go ahead.
I know it's really hot, but snow season is coming, and we need, the bids have ended, and we need to do a bid for one person for the magic salt and snow plowing.
One contractor. Yeah, one contractor. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think we need to wait. Well, yeah, we're going to do it.
We're in the middle of July, yeah. Steve. All
right.
Yeah.
We don't want to stop. All
right. I'll work with you on that. I've got, we'll work on the wording, and I've got that. So,
yes,
snow and salt bid.
And it has to be combined.
Right.
I don't want.
You want
two,
one vendor.
Yeah, one vendor. Thank you.
And we want flat rates like we
do.
Yeah, flat rates.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Want me to form an LLC with you?
No. I, you know, I used to, honestly, Steve, I used to do it. I made a lot of money in Blizzard, but it's if I was not gainfully employed Monday through Friday, I'd be willing to do it. But
no, no, I'm with you. I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
All right.
You got it, brother.
I do actually.
What's your wife doing?
She's a
VP.
Yeah, she's the director of debt compliance and finance for a 100 facility.
How about she was an East End housewife?
No. She works as harder than I do.
All right.
She also runs the books at their house. So
yes.
We make sure that he
does. She give an allowance?
No.
She's CPA.
All right. Anything else on new business for you all? Okay, here's what I want to bring up. I brought it up yesterday when it was after our little baby. We only had 6 months before the budget this year, and we were pretty inundated with us being new, okay? What had to get done during those 6 months to get us to where we're at now, okay? We've got now just under 12 months before the next fiscal year starts, and we will start working on the budget. Probably I'll have a proposed budget in February like I did this last year. But I think this time it would be nice if we thought about what we would like to have or do or get done in fiscal year 2020. So I'd like for y'all to put a wish list together, okay, and do your research on it, okay? And then what we'll do is everybody brings their wish list in, and we'll decide as a team what would be good for the community to do for 2020. One of the things I'd like to do, though, during this fiscal year, okay, or 2021, it'd be 2021, okay, is start the Easter egg back up. Easter egg hunt back up in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay? We haven't done it in years, and we've got that big open space, all right? And we need to really consider get the community back together. And we've got children. We've got children in the city now. They're running the streets on Ludenberg Drive, which is really crazy, and it's really scary. And they're going up and down the cul-de-sacs. I mean, we've got them all Pulaski. And I think it would be a lot of fun for them. And I believe we can plan for it, because what we can do is, I always like to play with the snow and ice removal, okay? Because that's over and done with in April, or, you know, April 1st, usually we don't get anything after that. So, if we have a pretty good year, we can pre-plan this. We can start looking for bulk sales on the plastic eggs and actually look for the stuff to put in them and get this project started. If we can find some volunteers in this city to work on that project, I'm sure there's some family somewhere that would like to get involved. But I think this is a good idea that we get this out or get this thought process started for this one community activity for next spring and then a project for fiscal year 21 that would be beneficial to the city. Again, I'll go back to what I talked about.
The candy might get stale if you buy it now, bro.
We're not going to buy it now, Steve.
Okay.
We're not going to boil the eggs.
Yet. Plastic rolls up.
All right? But the community activities, the goodwill ambassadors, okay? We need to find a way to get the community talking to one another. We get the people together and working, okay? So, if you'll, the next 30 days, if you'll think of some stuff, I mean, just have a notepad with you and it comes to your mind, you jot it down, because if you don't jot it down, you'll forget about it in 5 minutes. Okay? That's what I have to do. So, I wanted to bring that up, and hopefully you'll, you know, we'll have something for next meeting. There is another piece of new business, though, and I talked about it also. We have a fence problem. Dennis and I went down and measured the fence from post to post. Okay? It's 7.5 feet from the top. Dennis says it may be 7 feet from the bottom, okay, because the post leaves. Okay? But this is on Luray Court. Did anybody bring their maps, or do I need to hand them out? It's not Luray Court, but it's in that area. Okay?
Is it a private fence?
Yes, it's a private fence, and it's on public land.
Wow.
Okay?
Notice?
You're on Mrs. Carr. Oh, I did keep a copy for myself.
You can bother my
All right, thanks. All right. On Northumberland, okay? At the bottom of the hill, right across from Bay Vista, or, what is that? What's that? Bristol Bay. There's an opening to the green space. Okay? It's right here. That opening is 25 feet at the curb. And there's a sign that says dumping prohibited right there on Northumberland. It's right here. It's between, there's two houses from the corner of Northumberland to Luray Court. Then there's a green space, and then there's another house. Well, I have found about this house that has a fence problem. It's a rental property. Okay? Because the people...
What kind of fence is it?
It's a chain link fence. And what they did was, they took it straight back. You see where this house, it's the 4100, and then it's got the 469 underneath?
Mm-hmm.
They took the fence straight back to where it's crossed from where that dot is. The property owner up on Mecklenburg Court has put in a new private fence all the way to the property line where that dot's at.
The dark line.
The dot. You see?
Right there. I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay. Bottom right there. Yeah. That dot. That dot right there.
So essentially,
this dot here.
The circle.
The circle.
Okay. He has put his property, his fence, all the way to this circle right here. It's that one. Yeah. The right, bottom right.
Which is legal.
Okay. But what happened was, because the property, the 4100 North Upland fence goes all the way straight back and it's now adjacent to across from, there is just 7 feet between the two fence posts. And we can't get any construction vehicle or anything through there. In fact, Harold said
60 inches lower just
fits. He only got a couple inches on both sides. Okay? So, Harold's afraid he's going to nick up the wood fence or bang into that metal post on the chain link. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is so that letters don't go out without the commission knowing. Okay? We need to notify the property owner of 4100 that their fence is very west point of the fence is not properly set. It's on, there's some part of that fence that's taken
You're talking about this 4981 length?
No.
4100.
No, but I'm talking about this
one. Yeah, see, yeah. Where it says 110 feet, okay, it's actually about 130 feet. Or 120 feet.
So where it's in arrows, it's crossing.
Look, your fence. So this is the property line, right? Their fence sits in here like this. So the post is here.
So if they had it properly surveyed, they would have known that.
Well, right.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, whoever is in it now didn't know. That fence has been
up right there. That fence has been up there forever. It's got weeds on it. It's rusty and everything else. So it's been up there forever.
It's just never on it to move it.
Right. Well, that's the reason why I'm bringing it up. The last time a letter was sent out about these fences, the commissioners didn't know about it. Okay?
Oh, I see where you're getting at. I'm not sending out the letters.
Okay. Okay. So
Steve's like, I'm out.
So we're gonna get a standard letter for these fence, this fence, and notify the property owner if the commissioners have an objection. We need to talk about it now. Otherwise, and that's why I asked you to go out there and look at it. I mean, basically, Dennis and I just took it and. I could have almost touched end to end. That's how close it is.
You could pull a small car through there, but not a pickup truck.
Yeah, I was tempted to go through there and try to get my Trailblazer through there, but I got enough nicks and scratches on it, so I decided against it. So if there's no objection,
so which one's going to have to move their fence?
The 4100.
So this is the chain back up a ways. Is that what you're saying?
Well, see, they basically brought it straight down to the stop.
This is McLeanburg over here.
Okay.
This is the new fence, okay?
Right.
The existing fence is basically on this dotted line.
Oh, okay.
And his post is here.
Okay, and you're trying to get
his property line is here.
Okay, so
the opening now, and this guy, in the past, this fence, the old fence was here. So it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
You could get through there.
Yeah, until
he had it surveyed, exactly. And this is correct. And this is the one that's wrong.
That's right.
Because he is.
Right.
I see. Correct. I got it. Got it.
Thank you, Harold, for helping out. I'm glad you showed up in
PowerPoint.
Okay.
And as long as it goes out on, the first letter goes out on Worthington Hill Station.
Yeah, we will give them 90 days to move their friends because we don't need to. This has got the survey right here.
Are you absolutely certain that's a real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's the tax bill went to Crestwood.
And
there
was a sign out in front of it.
What's wrong with knocking on the door?
No, that's the wrong address.
Oh, 4100? That's not... Oh,
no, that's not the same house.
Oh, that's not the...
Oh. This is on the other side of Lorraine Court.
Oh, I thought that was the corner house. No. Okay.
You know where Bristol Bay's at?
Yes.
Okay, if you're sitting on Bristol Bay looking across Northumberland,
yeah.
You see the dumping prohibited sign?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at. Wherever you see a dumping prohibited sign, that's an entrance to the green space.
The 4100, it just sounded like it was a corner house.
No, I know. It's all screwed up. Anyhow, if there's no objections.
Let me ask a dumb question.
Why
can't someone just take this and knock on the door and just say...
Because they don't own the property.
They're renters.
But there may be one.
Yeah.
They may have put the
fence
up.
No, that's a good point.
Did they put the fence up?
It doesn't matter who put it up. It was put up.
It still has to be owned the property. All right, I'm with
you. Okay, all right. Is there any objection to not to mailing the letter?
No.
Okay, so commission's proof. Okay. right.
I'm not going to put it on my stationery, but if anybody wants any help with those.
Well, we will ask, we will get your legal advice before we send it, just like we did with the grass, okay? All right. If there's nothing else, any other new business? All right, time for the commissioner's reports. Who wants to go first? Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
Okay, on 6/20, received and currently updating the City of Worthington Hills rental property registrations in my email. 6/21, gave my okay for proof for the Louisville Mail property tax bill insert. On June 21st, followed up on a phone message regarding the light fixtures for the front island entrance at Westport Road. They advised may be best to stick with hardwired due to the trees in the island, as they mainly deal with solar lighting. Commissioner Beville and I are currently working together to reach out to our contact at LG&E for assistance. June 23rd and the 28th, per Herald, he mowed the islands and the green space after the huge storm had put him a little behind schedule. On July the 5th, I received a call from a real estate agent regarding a foreclosure property located at 4703 Middlesex Drive. On July the 9th, contacted MSD regarding properties at 4614 and 4616 Pulaski Court regarding water runoff pipe needing cleaned out from sediment buildup. On July the 11th, sent two letters to foreclosure properties regarding needing their grass mowed. On 7/15, attended a special meeting on Monday for the first reading of the KLCIS. On 7/15, received a report from Maximus detailing the month's activities for the mowing.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Commissioner Metcalf.
Drove the city on multiple occasions, went to the store shed with Mayor Stone multiple times. Mayor Stone and I went to post office each Friday, and I think we went one Monday. Mayor Stone and I went to Attorney Square's office once. Mayor Stone and I had a meeting with Tate Mason and Derby City Protection. And Mayor Stone then measured the space between the fences off North Amberley across from the Crystal Bay. Issued parking permits to six individuals. Helped Mayor Stone put up decorations for the fourth. Derby City Protection Activity Report from June 18th to July the 13th. Parking citations 14. Tall grass citations now. Theft deterrent 3. Dispatch run 1. Resident complaints 4. Traffic stops 10. Suspicious vehicle 4. Pedestrian stop 8. Safety checks 5. No arrests. Code regulations. Cases open 5. That's all right.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Bedell.
I did my weekly light checks. There were light out at Keithfield and Lunenburg, Rutsburg, and Castelli Place. Those were called in and repaired. I met with the owner at 3900 North Cumberland, who was upset about his yard waste not being picked up. When I pointed out to him that he put his tree branches in the recycling bin, he said, "I did not know," and so he knows now that you can't put yard waste in a recycling bin. I received a report from the mayor and the safety commissioner that they had observed Rumsey scattering trash during a run on June 21st, and I reported that to Chris Pierce, our Rumsey rep. answered an email from a new resident who had questions about the garbage schedule, and I referred them to the website. And then I answered an email from a resident at 4616 Pulaski who reported that the previous owner had taken both the garbage and the recycling bin when they moved. And so I asked Lumpy to deliver new bins, and which they did.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Campbell?
Safety Call has replaced all the signs that we ordered, but a mistake was made, and the Lunenburg Drive, it's supposed to be Lunenburg Drive and Pulaski Court, and it says Lunenburg Court. So we had to reorder, and it will be replaced. And at the same time, I ask that the no parking on street anytime sign be moved from the Chesterfield street sign and be placed across the street in front of the 3902 Northumberland Drive facing Westport Road. We have a huge problem at that house. Maybe they will just see it. the 6/24 through July 2nd, the all-terrain, the road repair began this week. They've been fighting the rain. You can't do asphalt work in the rain, but they did some excavation, the old cracked asphalt from some turn lanes, and then the rain hindered the progress, but all potholes and turn lane repairs were finished by July 2nd. On July 4th, took pictures of the entrance sign that had been decorated for July 4th by Mayor Bob Stoneham and Commissioner Dennis Metcalf. Several residents gave the thumbs up as they passed. Okay. And it did look nice, thank you.
Yes.
And made a mail run with Deb Lush, city clerk.
All right, thank you.
When are they going to paint the arrows?
Do what? I'm working on that. Steve Triplett, in fact, I was waiting. There's still some money, but he's going to be doing crack repair. And I talked with Bob about having the arrows and that all painted at the same time, along with the on that speed hump right there, that he's the one that did the speed hump in front of the daycare, and they can repaint those white lines there. But yeah, hopefully the next couple months that we can get that done. But no, I've not forgotten about it.
Need to be yellow lights instead of white.
Pardon? No. You can't see yellow in the rain.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you that right now because I traveled down a street that has the yellow arrows, and you cannot see them when it's raining.
You don't see anything?
You basically, you're on top of them before you see them. The white sticks out. If you go over to, isn't Coldstream yellow? I think Coldstream yellow. I've been over there and can't see them at night either.
But the speed bumps happen.
You can be yellow or white, but the white stands out. The white actually stands out better on the black than the yellow does.
What about reflective yellow?
It wears off just like the white did. I mean, they just after a time period, that them crystals in there wear off, and then you don't get them at all. So white will reflect the light better than the yellow will.
Well, I was planning to basically, because the rest of the speed bumps will have to be painted, and they are yellow. Are you assuming?
No, the yellow's fine.
Yellow's
fine on those. Okay, but the arrows need to be white. Okay. And you won't see them.
Yeah, that's what you see ordinarily.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't forgotten.
Yeah.
There's going to be an accident up there.
Yeah.
Anybody with the citizens wanting to state anything now? You've had a whole evening with the city commission, and have any questions that you'd like to bring up?
I have a couple.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to the city clerk's training next week in Lexington. And it was agreed at the last meeting that my evening meal would be paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone set a dollar limit on that?
$100.
Well, if they have, let me put it this way. If they have a lot of the evenings, they will have sponsors.
A lot of the evenings on the agenda says dinner on your own.
Oh,
exactly. Yes.
Okay.
All right. They do breakfast and lunch, but not dinner.
Right.
Well, we don't want you doing lobster.
Well, you just got $100.
I think you just be respectful. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
How much does my
just whatever you spend, bring the receipts in and give it to the treasurer.
Drive down to the Burger King. I got
you. Yeah. Burger King. I think you
can eat a little bit.
So that'd be a treasurer, you know, and I deal with that. When I give people, I said, you just give me the receipts and then I'll give you the reimbursement.
And the city probably can't pay for alcohol, so
yeah, no alcohol. That's definitely
that's
out.
No problem.
Okay.
But if you want to have a nice steak, I
yeah, right. Now, on the corner of Northumberland and Lunenburg, a lot of people walk around that area, and there's some cedar trees on that corner that really need to be trimmed.
Fireworks is going to be addressed. I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the projects we're going to have. That's on my wish list. Next year, 4th of July is on Saturday. So I know they're going to be shooting them off Friday night.
But they do it for Memorial Day.
And I'm going to make sure
that they 2 weeks before.
I know. I'm going to make sure our patrols Friday night are out there, and we're going to confiscate every friggin' thing that they catch. And then
they have a whole LMTD force out here.
Well, Tate's got new help, so we, you know, plan on the Friday before the 4th.
I think German Shepherds would be, you know, too much, like traumatized the kids. So.
The Rottweiler didn't mind it, but my dog now, no. Mine didn't mind it last year, but they did this year.
Mine has a corn.
I don't think we had many.
Let me make this perfectly clear. Louisville does have an ordinance, and it basically states that anything that goes into the air, a rocket, or
they're illegal.
And it's just like the noise ordinance.
I know it. I guarantee you. They ignore it on the 4th, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to ignore it before or after the 4th.
I walked my dogs over on Bay's End this past week, and I saw those, I guess they're like remnants of, look like little cannon things all over the sidewalks.
I have
over
them.
There on Bay's End.
I know.
And those things look like Roman candle things.
Yeah. We were doing
a litter problem.
We're going to address it.
We used that big party in court and set off fireworks.
Where those things fly up, they got to come down.
The mayor is on the court now, on the court street, so we ain't doing fireworks.
We don't do it anymore.
We threw away. We can start having
Corey burned down the house, but we don't do fireworks anymore.
Oh, God.
I mean, but I'm not heard of other neighborhoods doing that. It's just worried.
John.
Hey, that vacant spot up there on Westport right there behind those buildings right there where that pet center, are you still pondering the building a community center there?
You didn't hear that from me.
Well, this was a while back. There was.
You didn't hear that from me.
Well, I think y'all need a cart or something to ride around in.
Up there on,
you
know, you don't hear that from me.
In Westport Road there, they got that business building right there. Behind that building is a big space.
Right next to the Animal Care Society.
Right there from the cats and dogs. Between
the office building and the
society there. There's a big empty spot there. That was mentioned a while back. I remember they heard about it and somebody was talking about it. Because you can't put it in that one big green space because you can't get cars.
Well, you could be carted back there, but Google's not going to let you.
Go ahead.
I haven't been to Dipton a while because I've been here, but as the time rolls along, and it will go along, they will, everybody and their brother will start sending out Christmas cards. And if you don't want them, please bring them to the meeting, and my husband will bring them home to them, because Mission Barbecue, every year, they give Christmas cards to the veterans. They send them all over the state and the world to our veterans. And so last year I was able to send 56. I would have had 56, but I had some to handle also.
So you want unused Christmas cards?
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you know, State Jude sends them, Boy Scout sends them, everybody.
Just remind me,
Is there a limit? That's what
no,
we can.
Right. I think it is because
Well,
first off, we don't have it budgeted for this year. I mean, and it's really to do something like that, we need a committee. There needs to be a committee that gets together and plans this stuff rather than just having it thrown together.
What are we talking about?
When we first moved in, there was only one side of plastic court.
Probably.
Yeah, I think that would be really nice to see.
This year is
the interest. Are we and the higher loans take off and land.
That would be high.
So we hear the higher loans and everything, but the kids are so
She's got that. She got that.
And I'll form it aside.
This is actually a prepaid for July.
I'll just put it down. Yeah. I would have told you to do it, but I don't.
And this is really. And we may. This is a credit card. For this is for the city. This is for the clerk. And this is for the clerk. Okay. Is there anything else, or do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Time to go now, Bob.
I make that motion.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Eichenberger.
It's time to
good go. Evening. Thank y'all for showing up.
Hey,